Last Sunday night, we looked at the first 10 verses of Galatians where Paul introduced himself and introduced the purpose for writing the letter to the church at Galatians. And his main purpose in writing this letter to the church at Galatians was he was writing to combat some heresy that had crept into the church. Last week, or Wednesday night, we continued and finished off the book, the rest of the chapter. And so Wednesday night, we looked at Paul's recounting of his conversion in early ministry to show that the gospel preached by Paul was not a perverted version of what he had learned from the apostles, but rather was what he had received from God. You see, these people who had come into the church at Galatia was telling everybody, see, they had come from the church at Jerusalem. And they came in saying, the gospel that Paul preached unto you is not the true gospel. That's not the truth. This is what the truth is. And they were saying, look, we're from the church at Jerusalem. This is where it all started. Who are you going to believe, us or Paul? Come on now. And so Paul had to show them that, yes, indeed, the gospel that he preached was correct. And so Paul had to prove that he didn't take it from the church, the apostles, and corrupt it. He received it directly from Christ. Today, we're going to see the first meeting that Paul had with the church at Jerusalem over this issue. Now, this isn't the Jerusalem Council that we see later in the books of Acts, where the issue is finally settled, but this is an earlier meeting that Paul has about 14 years after his conversion. Today, as we look at this first half of the chapter 2, Paul is going to describe a very important meeting that occurred between him and the church leaders in Jerusalem. This meeting shows that the apostles approved of the gospel preached by Paul, agreed with him on the issue of circumcision / legalism, and shows that the apostles considered Paul to be God's apostle to the Gentiles. And as we're looking through this, we can also learn something from this meeting. We can learn a very important lesson on managing conflict within the body of believers. And we'll get to that as we look through the passage. Galatians 2, 1 through 10 says, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which are of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no difference to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter in the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we remember the poor, the same which I was also forward to do. So the first thing we see is this meeting. And it's important to see who attended this meeting. On one side you had Paul, who was the apostle. He's the one who's writing this letter to the church at Galatia. And he's the apostle to the Gentiles. And before this meeting, he really had very little contact with the church at Jerusalem or the apostles. In fact, the only real meeting that he had ever had with any of them was he stayed with Peter for 15 days, 10 years prior to this. Which, you know, 15 days isn't really going to give you much time to learn, is it? And Paul got the gospel, he got what he taught from Christ himself. And then the second person Paul brought with him was Barnabas. Now, Barnabas was a very influential person in the early church, especially the church at Antioch, which is the church that sent Paul out on his missionary journeys. Antioch is also the second church that we see recorded as being founded in the scriptures. It was started by a bunch of, when the persecution hit the church at Jerusalem, a lot of the believers fled, and a church in Antioch sprung up as a result. So Barnabas came with him, and Barnabas was also kind of a mentor to Paul for many years. He was Paul's spiritual father, as it were. And so Paul had great respect for Barnabas, but Barnabas also had a great respect among the rest of the church as well. And Paul probably brought him kind of as a character reference and a bridge to the church at Jerusalem. Because Paul didn't really have that much, you know, he didn't have a lot in ways to communicate. Before he got saved, Paul was killing the Christians. So I'm sure they were a little wary of him, even now, even 14 years later. So Barnabas came along. But the second person Paul brought is very interesting. He brought Titus. Titus was a Greek, a Gentile. He was not a Jewish believer. He was a Gentile believer. And I think that Paul took him with him to show as proof to the apostles, as proof to the other people he's meeting with, that the Gentiles can be saved, that they have been given the gospel as well. And a very important thing was that Titus was not circumcised, which all Jews had to be circumcised to be considered a Jew. And this is very important because this is one of the things that the whole conflict was over, was whether or not you had to be circumcised to be saved. And then he was meeting with, and in this verse it refers to them, those of reputation. And the idea behind that is that he was meeting with the elders at the Church of Jerusalem, those who had the authority in the Church of Jerusalem, those who had the most influence. Those were the men that Paul was reading with. At the end of the passage, he actually mentions Cephas, James, and John. Cephas, of course, is another name for Peter. So those are the three that he mentions. But they were probably involved in the meeting. Maybe there were a few others. And the purpose of this meeting was, number one, God revealed to Paul that he needed to go talk to the church at Jerusalem. Paul says that he went there by revelation. God had directed Paul to Jerusalem, so it wasn't just something that Paul came up with on a whim. No, this was something that God was leading him to do. Paul felt that God was directing him to have this meeting in Jerusalem with the apostles and church leaders in Jerusalem. And I notice, very importantly, that Paul had this was a private meeting. Paul didn't have this meeting with everybody invited and everyone involved. Because, to be frank, there were a lot of people who really, Paul talking to them about this issue would have done no good because they had no influence, as it were. It wasn't an open meeting. He only met with the leaders of the church in Jerusalem, which was James, Peter, and John, were three mentioned, because Paul was not trying to stir up controversy or strife within the church at Jerusalem. That was not his goal. He wasn't coming in there to preach, to split that church between the people who were Judaizers and the people who were not. He wasn't trying to put a wedge in the church. He was trying to deal with the problem one-on-one before it became a bigger problem. And he even says that he went to them, this meeting was so that his ministry would not be in vain. And Paul is specifically following the commands of Jesus on how to resolve conflict within the church. If you look in Matthew 18, God tells us how we are to resolve conflict within the church. We are to go to the person we have conflict with privately first. And if that doesn't resolve the issue, then we go to a couple of men in the church who we can trust, who can help us. You know, so probably the pastor, the deacons, the trustees. You go to a couple trusted men and you say, I'm having this issue with one of our brothers in the church. Could you please help me resolve this? And then they would go and try to resolve it. And only if it's not resolved that way would the whole church hear of it. And so that's what Paul was trying to do here. He was trying to take care of the issue before it got to the point where the whole church had to get involved. Because to be honest, when the whole church gets involved, it can get really ugly. Because you have a lot more people with a lot more stubbornness and a lot more opinions. So he went to them, and he says, so his ministry would not be in vain. You see, Paul's ministry was to the Gentiles. That's who God called him to preach. This conflict that was brewing in the early church was threatening to put a wedge between the Jewish believers and the Christian, the Gentile believers. I find it interesting, during this time, The question was, can a Gentile really get saved in the church? And yet nowadays you hear many Christians act like Jews can't get saved. I find that highly ironic, because the truth is both groups are called by God to salvation. All of us have been given that opportunity to be saved, not one or the other. And in the early church, they had this hard time accepting the fact that God died for the Gentiles too. But now there's many Christians who seem to have a hard time accepting the fact that God died for the Jews too. And it ought not be so. There should not be a wedge between the two groups in that way. Such a wedge could have easily destroyed everything that Paul had worked towards in the ministry as the apostle to the Gentiles. If the church at Jerusalem condoned the legalistic interpretation of the gospel that these Judaizers had begun to preach, it would have made it much harder for Paul to minister to the Gentiles. And another reason Paul was going to this meeting was because these guys were going around lying about Paul. They were saying, Paul is saying this, Paul is teaching this, Paul is doing this, Paul... And they were exaggerating and twisting what Paul was really doing in order to try and trick the church into rejecting Paul. And some of them might have had good intentions. They might have seriously thought that what they were doing was right. They thought the gospel that they were teaching was right, but it was not. It was a perversion. And so in this meeting, we see the agenda. Paul communicated the gospel to these men. Now, of course, Paul's not trying to win them to Christ. They're already there. But Paul went into this meeting, and the first thing he did was he said, okay, this is the gospel message that I am preaching. And he explained to them exactly what it is. He might have even preached it to them. And the reason he did that was he wanted them to understand from his mouth what he was saying. Because how often do we often get in trouble when we hear what someone else said from a third party? And then we take action based on what that third party said that someone else said, instead of going to the source and saying, hey, what did you say? Because a lot of times a third party can take something out of context, they can twist it, or they can totally misunderstand what the person said. And so when they repeat it, you know, like sarcasm on the internet, you know? It's one of the hardest things to read in text. And sarcasm, if someone misunderstands someone's sarcasm, they're going to think they said the opposite of what they really said, won't they? And so Paul, instead of allowing this to fester as people are saying, well, Paul said this, Paul said, okay, I'm going to go there, I'm going to tell them exactly what I said so they know from the horse's mouth, as it were. And when he did this, when he went there, because there were many who had issues with the way he preached the gospel, they felt Paul's gospel was giving the Gentiles license to sin by not being circumcised or following the law. And because of this, what Paul was preaching was being misrepresented by these people. So Paul went to the church and told them exactly what he was teaching. He said, this is what I'm preaching, this is what I'm teaching. I'm preaching the gospel of Christ. And by telling these leaders in a private meeting exactly what he was preaching, Paul was hoping to diffuse the situation that was arising within the early church. And another reason he had this meeting in private was because that way he could keep out the troublemakers. These people who were saying all these things about him, instead of letting the troublemakers in, he can talk to the people who really are in charge and say, okay, this is what I'm saying. Now, the church at Jerusalem did not have authority over Paul. Paul's authority was given to him by God, but he was doing this in order to prevent a schism within the church that could easily have occurred. And then we see the response. The first thing Paul mentions is that Titus was not compelled to be circumcised. If the church at Jerusalem, if these church leaders really believed that circumcision was necessary for salvation, do you not think that they would have insisted that Titus had to be circumcised? Yes, they would have. But they said, no, he doesn't have to be circumcised, because that is not a part of the gospel message. The gospel message is that Jesus Christ died for our sins so that each one of us could go to heaven, because all of us are sinners. None of us is perfect before God. And the only way we can attain righteousness is through the death of Christ on the cross, not through our own works. By adding circumcision to salvation, these men were adding works to salvation and completely destroying the very foundation upon which the gospel was built. And the church leaders recognized Paul as the apostle to the Gentiles. It says that they understood, as the apostles of the uncircumcised, the non-Jews, they saw that God had obviously called Paul to preach the gospel message to the Gentiles. By recognizing this, they were accepting the fact that Paul was given the authority to be an apostle by God. They also were acknowledging Paul's ministry and teachings as true and valid. And this was one of the reasons Paul went, because Paul knew that he was preaching the gospel message. And he knew that if he could just talk to these other apostles, these other men, these other apostles of God, that they would say, you know what, you are preaching the truth. You are, God has given you a ministry. So then he was hoping to quash the problems that were beginning to arise within the early church, and that did arise in the church at Galatia, as we'll see in the next couple of weeks. Just as Peter was the apostle to the Jews, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. You know, and if you think about it, does that make any sense? Peter was a fisherman. He was just a regular Joe fisherman. He grew up fishing. He was a blue-collar worker. Paul was, he basically had a doctorate in Judaism. Paul was a very, very learned man in the Jewish religion. He was considered one of the top guys before he defected to Christianity, as it were. He was a student of the eminent scholar of the day. And yet God sent Paul to the Gentiles and Peter to the Jews. God works in ways we don't understand, doesn't he? Because you know what? If I had been in charge, I probably would have sent Peter to the Gentiles and Paul to the Jews. But that's not what God did, because God knows best. He knows better than we do. And then it says that they gave him the right hand of fellowship. That's actually where we get that phrase from. James, Cephas, and John, they seemed to be the pillars of the church at Jerusalem. And these were three of the leaders. And as far as Paul could see, they were the leaders, and by extension of all the churches in Judea. They recognized that God had, through grace, saved Paul, called Paul, and anointed Paul to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And it says they perceived it. They didn't appoint Paul apostle of the Gentiles. They said, we see that God has appointed Paul apostle of the Gentiles. You see, and they saw that Paul had a separate ministry than they did. They recognized that God was using Paul in a way that he was not using them. You know, too often, sometimes we want to do everything. But God has called each of us to separate things. And things that God wants us to do might not be what he wants everyone else to do. He might have other things for them to do. And so he called Paul to the Gentiles. And they saw Paul as an equal to them in church authority. They accepted Paul's authority over the Gentile churches and the affairs of the Gentile churches. They said Paul would go to the uncircumcised. They would continue to reach the circumcised. And this is very interesting. At the last verse of this passage, it says, only one thing they asked of me. So there was only one thing that the church leaders in Jerusalem asked Paul. And this wasn't a command, okay, Paul, you must do this. No, this was just a request. They asked that he would remember the poor. That's the only thing they asked of Paul. If that's the only request they had of Paul, do you think that they probably left on really good terms? I'm thinking they did. I'm pretty sure that they were like, this man is an apostle, but they did ask that he remembered the poor. And specifically in the context, this was to take care of the poor believers, specifically in the church at Jerusalem. You see, there were a lot of Jewish believers. When they got saved, they lost everything. Because in that culture, a lot of times you lived, you know, when a man got married, he actually built a little house onto his parents' house. And so he lived with his parents. And a lot of these people who got saved, they got kicked out of their homes. They lost their jobs. They lost their families. They lost everything when they accepted Christ as their Savior. And so these elders at the church of Jerusalem said, Paul, please remember them. And Paul says, that was something I was already forward to do. I was already looking to do. I was planning on doing that already. It wasn't like they asked him to do something he didn't want to do. This was something that was already near and dear to his heart. Because remember, Paul was a Jew and a Christian, and I'm sure it broke his heart to see these Jewish Christians suffering under poverty because they chose Christ. They did not, and the churches in Judea were trying to take care of these believers. That's why one of the apostles back sold a parcel of land and gave it to the church, gave the money to the church to help take care of those people who had lost everything. And that's the whole story behind Ananias and Sapphira when they pretended to do the same. They did not ask Paul to insist on circumcision for the Gentiles. They did not require adherence to the law for salvation. And honestly, if that was important to the gospel message, they would have. The fact that they did not do so tells you that it is not a part of the gospel message. Now, this isn't the church, and this continues on. I'm pretty sure that this book, the Epistle to the Galatians, was written before the council at Jerusalem, where this issue is finally and completely determined and settled. Because at that council, James actually sends out a letter to all the Gentile churches saying circumcision is absolutely not required for salvation. Because the problem continued to fester, continued to grow, it just would not go away. And there were many people pretending to be from James and the church at Jerusalem saying, this is what the gospel says. And those people were now in the church at Galatia right now. In this passage, Paul very clearly lays to rest the accusation that the gospel that he was preaching was different from the gospel that the apostles at the church in Jerusalem were teaching. Paul recounted his teachings to the church leaders at Jerusalem, and they were fully satisfied that Paul was indeed an apostle sent by God to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul's gospel was not different than the one that they preached. They recognized that he had received it from the same source as they had, Jesus Christ. One very important lesson, of course, we all can learn is that observing Paul's attempt to take care of this problem without stirring up more controversy than necessary. He could have turned this into a public spectacle and debacle easily and set the two sides against each other, but thankfully Paul did not do this. He privately met with the leaders of the other side so that they could communicate effectively with each other. Paul knew that his gospel was the true gospel of Christ, so he knew that these men would accept it fully and see who that God really had called him. Instead of backing them into a corner or broadly attacking all the Jewish believers, he privately brought the problem to the attention of the leaders, and they were able to come to an agreement that did not compromise the truth. Many times in church conflict, there are godly men on both sides of the debate. If we are not careful, a division can arise over misunderstandings that could easily be cleared up by a couple of face-to-face meetings. And that's what Paul was attempting to do. It is very clear from these verses that the gospel which Paul preached was no different than the gospel which was taught at the church at Jerusalem. Paul used what could have become a division between the Jewish and Gentile believers to create a unity between the two groups. Unfortunately, as we will see tonight and throughout the study of Galatians, this is not the end of the story. But because of the groundwork laid by God through Paul at this meeting, the two sides remained unified throughout the conflict that could easily have divided the early church. And tonight, we're going to look at an incident that occurred between Peter and Paul, where Paul ended up having to publicly denounce something that Peter was doing. And we're going to look at why he had to do it publicly and the results of it and all of that tonight. Because, unfortunately, this problem just kept going and going and going. And usually that's how it goes in churches. You know, usually you don't fix things right away, do you? Unfortunately. So tonight we're going to look and see how Paul dealt with Peter and what Peter had done wrong and how Paul dealt with that as well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, Lord. I pray that you'll be with us as a church. I pray that you'll help us as we read through this book of Galatians, that we can learn a lot from it and understand the gospel message as you have intended it for us. We love you and we thank you. In your son's name, amen. Okay, go ahead and turn in your hymn books to 264 for Nothing But the Blood.